Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kamdiyas Tayi Rachita Na Parama Rohanti Yatha Karamba Bijani Yenat Mani Agunamahi Gunagunato Sya Dvanda Jalani Kamadiyastvai Rachita Naparma Rahanti Yatha Karamba Bijani Jnana Maniya Gunamaye Gunagana Tosya Dvanda Jalani Kamadiyastvai Rachita Naparama Rohanti Yatha Karamba Bijani Gyanatmani Yagunamaye Gunaganato Syadvanda Jalani Kamadiyastai Rachita Na Parama Rohanti Yatakaramba Bijani Yanatmani Agunamaye Dunaganato Syadanda Jalani Kamadiyastai Rachita Na Parama Rohanti Yatakaramba Bijani Yanatmani Agunamaye Gunaganato Syadanda Jalani Somebody else? Kamadiyastvaya Rochita Naparama Rahanti Yatakaramba Bijan Yanatmani Agunamaye Yanagamatosya Danda Jalani. Somebody else? Kamadiyastvai Rachita Naparama Rahanti Yatakaramba Bijani Jnanatmani Agunamaye Yanagamatosya Danda Jalani. Ladies, ladies, okay, we'll do it one more time then. Kama diastrayi rachita. Paramarohanti yata karamba bijani. Gyanatmani agunamaye. Gunaganato syadhanda jalani. Kamadiya. Desires for sense gratification. Twayi, in you, rachita, performed. Na, not. Parama, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rohanti, do grow, produce other bodies. Yata, just as. Karambabijani, sterilized or fried seeds. Gyanatmani, in you, whose existence is in full knowledge. Agunamaye, who is not affected by the material qualities. Gunaganata, from the material qualities. Asya, of a person. Dvandva jalani, the networks of duality. Translation, O Supreme Lord, if persons obsessed with material desires for sense gratification through material opulence worship you, who are the source of all knowledge, and are transcendental to material qualities, they are not subject to material rebirth. Just as sterilized or fried seeds do not produce plants, living entities are subjected to the repetition of birth and death because they are conditioned by material nature. But since you are transcendental, one who is inclined to associate with you in transcendence escapes the conditions of material nature. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, where the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvat tyakta deyam punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. If one simply engages in Krishna consciousness, to understand Krishna, he surely becomes immune to the process of repeated birth and death. As clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Taktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mam. Such a person, simply by engaging in Krishna consciousness, or understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becomes fit to return home, back to Godhead. Even those who are obsessed with material desires may also come to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead so steadily that they go back to Godhead. The fact is that if one comes to Krishna consciousness, although he may have material desires, he becomes increasingly attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna through associating with the Supreme Lord by chanting his holy name. The Supreme Lord and his holy name are identical. Thus, he becomes uninterested in attachment to material enjoyment. The perfection of life is to be uninterested in material enjoyment and interested in Krishna. If one comes to Krishna consciousness somehow or other, even for material gain, the result is that he will be liberated. Kamad Veshad Bayat Snehat. This is a verse from the seventh canto. Kamad Veshad Bayat Snehat. Whether for the satisfaction of material desires, or because of the influence of envy, or because of fear, or because of affection, or because of any other reason, if one comes to Krishna, his life is successful. Om Agnate Murandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshusunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Maneham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnamam Sucha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijan Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vashakan Vitam Sucha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandha Jagapate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishamanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mantrakopta Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patiranam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare Kamadiyas Tvai Rochita Na paramarohanti yatha karambhambhyajani. Jnanatmanya gunamaye gunagunatosya dvandajalani. So Krishna has all the transcendental qualities that define who he is. Bhagavan means he possesses all opulences, all knowledge. Here it's mentioned, you have all knowledge, you're the source of all knowledge. Your existence is in full knowledge. Atmani. Jnana. Mani. If we would ask Krishna, who are you? He would say, I exist in full knowledge. And he's the source of all knowledge. So people are looking for knowledge. Even the scientists, especially maybe the scientists, look for knowledge. Yesterday I walked through the library of the Bhaktivedanta Institute and looked at the books on the shelf for a few minutes. There's so much concern with knowledge. They want to know, what is this energy of Krishna? Of course, their search is not directly connected to Krishna. They don't understand the energy is coming from Krishna. But they want knowledge, and Krishna sometimes gives the knowledge. If a person is very sincere, and especially if he's pious, Krishna may reveal to the seeker something about what he's curious about. So people develop so many paths of knowledge. They look for knowledge in different ways. And there are classifications of different schools of knowledge. What school of knowledge do you belong to? How do you approach your search for knowledge? You're classified. So there's also those who search for knowledge of the Supreme. They want to know Krishna in truth. They want to know about Krishna's activities, Krishna's appearance in this world. So Krishna says, Janma karma chame dibyam yog. Janma karma chame dibyam yome tatvataha. Janma karma chame dibyam. How does it go? Evam yoveti tatvataha. Srila Prabhupada sometimes called this the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita, because it informs us that Krishna consciousness guarantees immunity from repeated birth and death. Taktvadeham punar janmanaiti mam sarjana. If you know Krishna in truth, then you don't take birth again, he tells Arjuna. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada said, even if you don't engage in Krishna's service, Just by knowing about Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. But in this purport, Prabhupada mentions twice engaging in Krishna's service. And he mentions just once understanding Krishna. And he connects them. He says, engaging in Krishna's service to understand Krishna. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktvam deha punar janma naiti mameti sarjan. What's the result of this? You become immune to birth and death. You become, stating it positively, you become fit to go to Krishna's eternal abode. You're qualified to enter Krishna's abode, where life is eternal, there's no more birth and death. So people know they will die, but they ignore it. They don't treat it as an emergency. They don't think, I have to find the solution to death and rebirth. But they become very concerned about an ordinary disease. They don't want to die from a disease like a plague. Now there's a plague in Africa called Ebola. And people are very afraid, especially if they live in Africa. But if they live anywhere in the world, they're afraid. We don't want this to come to our country. We have to make emergency rules that anybody who flies on an airplane to our country, who's coming from those places in Africa where there's Ebola, they have to be quarantined. But people don't feel the same urgency about becoming immune from birth and death. Except people in India. To some extent, people in India are informed about repeated birth and death. Much more so than the people who are unaware of samsara, unaware of karma. And there are many, many people in the world like that, outside India, who have no awareness of the danger of repeated birth and death. They're just thinking of this one life. So that's a big mistake. And Srila Prabhupada dedicated his life to waking people up, to saving them from repeated birth and death, to teaching them that you shouldn't think only of this life. Some people within India, especially within India, you find people who may know about repeated birth and death, but they're obsessed with material enjoyment and they worship the demigods for this. So they're the subject of this verse, this text by Chitraketu. Chitraketu is talking about those who are obsessed with the idea of sense gratification and material opulence, who worship the demigods. He's saying, even for those persons, kamadiyas, they're meditating on their desires, even they may come to the personality of Godhead by worshiping Him. But it has to be done properly. It has to be done steadily. The performance, rachita, has to be proper. Kamadiyas, tvaya, rachita, How is it performed? It has to be properly done. In the beginning, it may not be properly done. We might preach to someone who worships the demigods. Okay, just add Krishna to your worship. This will be the best thing. Add Krishna to your worship. So in the beginning, they may not have the right mood because they've been worshiping the demigods for the fulfillment of desires and for opulence. They're bewildered. But if they can come to the point of worshiping Krishna properly and steadily, even they can go to the eternal abode of Krishna. How does that work? Well, the first thing is that they become attracted. They begin to appreciate Krishna's beautiful qualities and personality and form. Just like the qualities of Krishna described in this verse, he's the source of knowledge. His existence is in knowledge. It sounds so beautiful. Normally people are described, they dress very beautifully or they have nice bodily features. Those things are also in Krishna to the nth degree, to the unlimited degree. People have just a small percentage of Krishna's beauty. They have a small percentage of Krishna's knowledge. Small percentage of Krishna's fame and wealth. So these attractive qualities are all in Krishna. And people who begin to worship Krishna, who little by little do a little engagement in Krishna's service, they hear about Krishna. They hear about his attractiveness. So that's the first thing that qualifies them to make progress. And then they're qualified also because they're engaging their senses now. If they add Krishna to their worship, they're engaging their senses in Krishna's service. And that is going to take their senses away from material engagements. We don't try to stop our senses. We don't try to stop seeing. We don't try to stop touching. But we engage the senses. Where is Krishna Balaram? Let me see Krishna Balaram. Let me worship. Let me build a temple. If you're a pure devotee, you'll think, let me build a temple. And if you're not a pure devotee, if you're a materialist, you'll think, let me build a very opulent house for my sense gratification. So if you add Krishna, then you begin to think, well, Krishna should be involved. Krishna has to be in my house. Krishna has to be on the altar. There has to be a place for Krishna. When the devotees in ISKCON in the early days were looking for places to preach, they would look for a building. And then they would sometimes ask Srila Prabhupada about using the building as a temple. And where to put Krishna in the temple, in the new building. And Prabhupada advised them, you first figure out where you'll put Krishna, and then everything will fall into place. If Krishna's in the center, then everything will be in the proper place. So, when we think like this, when we engage our senses like that, then this Chituketu Maharaj says, then you become freed from the material qualities, guna, ganata, and you become free from the networks of duality, dvanda, jalani. Sometimes the nets that the fishermen use, they're used in the Shastric verses to describe how the living entity is caught in a network of sense enjoyment. The senses are all a network of paths leading to death. But you, Krishna, are so kind, you've given us Bhagavat Prasad, just to conquer the tongue. So Chituketu Maharaj says, when this happens, when we're engaged in Krishna's service, one becomes free from these networks of duality. And they no longer produce, our activities no longer produce repetition of birth and death. We no longer produce other bodies. Just like seeds that are fried or sterilized can no longer produce plants. Nothing grows from a seed that's been fried. Normally, this is a process adopted by wise persons. Persons who have discernment. Persons who have profound knowledge. They become absorbed in Krishna. By engaging in devotional service, they give up the results of work. And become unattached. They become free from their conditioned nature. Yesterday, Devaki Nandana Prabhu was saying that, you know, we stay in the samsara because of our nature and our desires. But there's a process for becoming free of our conditioned nature and becoming free from attachment to our desires. And those who are wise, they give up selfish desires. They train the intelligence and the mind. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan. All kinds of desires come up in the mind. But when a person gives those up, then he is said to have discernment. He understands, why should I try to fulfill my desires? I'm not this body. Just by putting my senses in contact with sense objects, I'm not going to become happy. The spirit soul should be satisfied with the spirit soul. The self should be satisfied by the self alone. Atmani evatmana tushta. Find your satisfaction with the self. Atmani evatmana tushta. In that way your mind becomes purified. And you find satisfaction in the self alone. You develop discernment, you develop this profound knowledge, you give up attachment, you overcome your conditioning, and then you feel satisfied with your prajna. Prajna means profound knowledge. You have a real grasp on knowledge, on spiritual knowledge. You're in pure transcendental consciousness. And then you feel tushta. And it's not just self-satisfaction. But it's satisfaction in the self, realizing that the self is an eternal servant of the Lord. Then you can give up petty sense desires that come from materialism. You become absorbed in the Lord, and then you can give up materialism. So this kind of steady intelligence comes from meditating on Krishna and subduing the senses, engaging the senses in Krishna's service. Then one becomes pratishta, fixed. Pratishta, fixed. And then you become very enthusiastic. And your enthusiasm increases and increases. Sometimes we don't feel so enthusiastic. We have a bad day. We have ups and downs. Because we're not yet completely fixed. But that's all right. It's a process that's gradual. You go little by little. Little by little. You hear about Krishna. You become attracted. You engage your senses. And little by little, Krishna reciprocates. And you fall in love with Krishna. Just like in ordinary dealings. You don't just all of a sudden fall in love and then, you know, you're... But it's a gradual process. This person does this for you, and then you do this for that person, and then there's some more reciprocation. So you become enthusiastic when you serve Krishna gradually. So this is being described as something that can happen to a person who's even obsessed with material desires for opulence and worships the demigods. And Srila Prabhupada spends about half of the purport giving some evidence from Shastra that this is true, that this can actually happen. So he says, the fact is, so he's like a lawyer now, he's presenting the evidence. The fact is that if one comes to Krishna consciousness, although he may have many material desires, he becomes increasingly attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna through associating with the Supreme Lord by chanting his holy name. So this is part of what it means. This is the main part of what it means to worship Krishna properly. This verse says, Kamadiyas Tvayi Rachita. You may have many material desires, but if you properly perform some worship of Krishna. So how do we properly worship Krishna? It's not by performing penance. It's not by giving in charity. These things are there, but in this age it's by chanting. And therefore Prabhupada says, although he has many material desires, he becomes increasingly attracted to Krishna by the chanting of his name. And thus he becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. So it's kirtan, 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 kirtan. Kirtan attracts us. Kirtan absorbs our senses and mind. When we're dancing with the devotees and we're hearing the beautiful names of Krishna, then we reach what Prabhupada calls the perfection of life. Siddhi. Siddhi. What's that perfection? He says we become interested in Krishna and uninterested in enjoyment. So that's how it's done. And then he says, if he gives some more evidence that this has happened in the past to others, if one comes to Krishna consciousness, somehow or other, even for material gain, the result is that he will be liberated. Kama, dveshat, bayat, snehat, quoting the seventh canto, Narad Muni, whether for the satisfaction of desires, because of envy, because of fear, because of affection, or any other reason, if one comes to Krishna, his life is successful. So the verse is, kama, dveshat, bayat, snehat, from desire, lust, dveshat, hatred, envy, kama, dveshat, Icha Dveshat, Bhagavad Gita says, desire, Isha Dveshat, Kama Dveshat, from fear. Who was fearful of Krishna? That was Kamsa. Kamsa became very afraid when he heard that this child would kill him. He heard this at the time of the marriage of his sister, Devaki. But it was a long time away. Many other children were going to come first. But he became increasingly fearful, meditating on this. When is that death going to be born? When is my death going to be born? And he made plans to assassinate, to kill all the children that were born. This is also said to be the behavior and activity of another king called Herod, connected with Jesus. At the time of the birth of Jesus, Christmas, yesterday we celebrated, Herod killed all the children, like Kamsa. So Kamsa was in fear, but he attained liberation because he was thinking of Krishna. Not the highest liberation, but he was liberated. Because of the mind being absorbed in Ishvara, so not favorably absorbed, but absorbed. When one has some affection for Krishna, then he's favorably absorbed, like Nanda and Yashoda. So Narad Muni says, many, many persons attain liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desire, inimical feelings, fear, affection, and devotional service. Sishupal was envious. Sishupal is the example of an envious person who became liberated by constantly thinking of Krishna. He became free of envy. His envy stopped. His mind was purified. The material quality, the material absorption, or the feeling of enviousness, that stopped. So, when the mind is somehow absorbed in Krishna, the material part of the mind becomes vanquished. And the spiritual part becomes manifest when we're attracted to Krishna. Sometimes one becomes absorbed in Krishna out of some family connection, like the Yadu dynasty or the Pandavas. And they obtain Krishna's mercy that way. Sometimes one's not connected in a familial way, but someone is connected through devotional service, general devotees. Out of knowledge, they begin to worship Krishna. Out of curiosity, they become to worship Krishna and take to devotional service. So general devotees also get the mercy, like the family members, or even like those who are envious or who hate Krishna, who fear Krishna. So, of course, therefore Prabhupada says what Chituketu is saying about the demigod worshippers is true. Many persons have obtained Krishna's mercy, even if they had material desire for sense enjoyment and opulence. Any questions? You have a microphone? The gentleman has a question there.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. I do realize the importance of Bhagavad Gita 4.9 that you mentioned about that sloka.
Say it again.
The reference to Bhagavad Gita 4.9,
yes.
Janma Karma Cha Divyam.
Yes.
It seems like that process is very simple, that if you just know Krishna through his activities and through his pastimes, then liberation seems very near. But to me it seems like it's more than that maybe. And perhaps if you can go a little deeper into that to clarify my confusion here, please.
Are you in doubt?
In doubt in the sense that it sounds very simple.
It may be that, you know, we could go out on the street and we could say to a person, do you know about Krishna? And he'll say, yes, I know something about Krishna. Right? We'll find many people who will say, yes, I know something. And we might wonder, well, are they going to be liberated then? No more birth for them when they die? So it's a good question. To what degree does that knowing have to be concentrated? To what degree does that knowing Krishna have to be established? To what degree does that knowing Krishna have to be full, so that one's mind is pure and one is not contaminated in the mind by other things? This verse, as we said, this verse mentions that question. Kamadiyastai rachita. Even you have many material desires. If you perform the worship of Krishna steadily, it says in the translation, it should be so steady that the fructification of your activities no longer bears results. Just like a seed that's sterilized or fried cannot produce a plant. So we should understand it like that, like Chitraketu Maharaj is presenting it. One's knowledge of Krishna should be so well established that you're no longer acting in such a way that you're going to produce another body. Now, if we go back to the man on the street who says, I know something about Krishna, we also know that that's an eternal asset. Even if the person doesn't become siddhi or perfect, still, he never loses whatever he acquires in devotional service. So eventually he's going to become more advanced. He'll be given opportunities to continue his devotional service because he's got a start. So sooner or later, sometime or another, little by little, he'll keep up that connection with Krishna. Maybe he'll think of Krishna, maybe an ordinary person who knows a little about Krishna, maybe he'll think of Krishna in a moment of great fear. Maybe a car will come and hit him or come close to killing him. And he'll think of Krishna to save him. So out of fear, he becomes absorbed in Krishna. Or maybe he'll become serious because his relatives die, or his relatives lose their money, or his relatives are affected by Ebola. And then he'll think, what's the solution to all this, all these problems? There must be a solution. That must be Krishna. Okay? Another question.
What do we mean when we say that Lord's name and Lord's personality is non-different? Because personality includes everything. The person and name is just some sound vibration.
What do we mean when we say that the name is non-different from Krishna's qualities and pastimes? Because the name is a sound. The name doesn't seem to be the form. But it's described as advaya, non-different. So what is all that about? Krishna is said to be absolute. One meaning, this meaning of absolute in this case means non-different from his name and qualities and form and pastimes. In the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, there's a verse. Vedanti tat tatva vidastam tatvam yajganam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabyate. The persons who know the absolute truth, which is non-dual, it's advaya, there's not two absolute truths, there's one absolute truth, advaya. They know that absolute truth is Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. So how can the one absolute truth have three features? So this is what we find out, that the absolute truth has three features. We find out that he's absolute in the sense that there's no difference between his name and his form, his qualities and pastimes. But we might doubt, well, the name is just a name, you know. It's not an activity, it's not a pastime, it's not a quality. How can it be like Krishna so much that it's said that it's none different from Krishna's qualities and pastimes? So we have to develop our faith. We're just beginning and we don't have a full realization of Krishna's name. We're just saying the syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But to a fully self-realized pure devotee who understands who he is, how he's a servant of Krishna, he understands his eternal identity. He understands Krishna's eternal abode, the activities in Krishna's eternal abode. Eternal activities then, for him, for those persons who understand Krishna in full, in tatvata, those who know me in full, evam yo vedi tatvata, they can understand that it's very easy to become attracted to Krishna's lotus feet by chanting. This is what Prabhupada says. The worship of Krishna by chanting his name attracts one to Krishna's lotus feet. So if we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we should feel attraction to Krishna's lotus feet. Is our mind thinking of Krishna's lotus feet? It should be, as a result of chanting. So this is how it works. And if we're thinking of lotus feet of Krishna, we're thinking of his form. And if we're thinking of his form and his lotus feet, we're thinking of his pastimes. What does he do? Where do those lotus feet go? Are there other feet of other persons with those lotus feet? So it's all whole. All whole. Okay. Hare Krishna. Is that all right? Is that good enough? You buy it? You agree? Okay, good. Any other question? Hare Krishna. We can stop. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Glorious Srila Prabhupada.